Lord has put a message on my heart today. Several years ago, the Lord had me go on a particular subject. And I was amazed how much was written on that subject that I'd never really paid attention to or even realized existed. It is not a popular subject. It is not a subject that we actually think about much. So I just want to say this morning that the message is weighty. That means it has weight in it. But that just means it has glory in it. Because glory is weighty. And the more glory, the weightier it is, the heavier it is. The message this morning is heavy. And I want you to receive it that way. I want you to just know in your heart and in your spirit that when God gives us something like this, it's something worth having. So cherish it. And I'd like to begin this morning by letting you know what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about books. Very interesting and very rare subject. God wants us to know this morning about books. Heaven is full of books. And there are big books, small books, all kinds of books. And in it, there's information and writing. And there are many scribes, as they are on earth, they are in heaven, many scribes that do nothing but just write information. We live in a society of people who have forgotten that we are accountable beings. God makes us accountable for every word we speak. He makes us accountable for every action. He makes us accountable for everything that we do, our works. He makes us accountable for our sins, and He makes us accountable for the holiness that we attain by our own accord and the ones we receive from Him by faith. And so God wants to bring us to a place where suddenly we are conscious of the fact that we are accountable beings. No other country in the world has a population of people that feel they're less accountable than in the United States of America. It's always somebody else's fault. My father, my brother, my mother, whoever did this to me, whoever did that to me, the church, the pastor, somebody else, we are never accountable for anything we do. Somebody else is always accountable. We have insurances to cover our negligences, and it's never our problem. It's never our fault. We don't want accountability. We don't want to hear about accountability. But this morning, God wants to remind us we are going to be standing before Him and account for everything we've said, everything we've seen, everything we've heard, and everything we've done. And this, although the subject is heavy, it's going to be very redeeming before we're through. So if you decide to leave, please listen to the CD at the end because you left before the redeeming part. But I am going to leave that till the end because God wants us to hear this, so that we come to a place where we realize that God is not trying to scare us. He's not trying to give us a heavy day and ruin our Sunday. God is simply trying to remind us that we are accountable, and He wants us to live as if we are, so that you will rejoice someday when you stand before judgment. There will be two types of people in judgment, and there are two judgment seats. One is the judgment seat of Christ for all Christians, and the other is the great white throne where God judges those who refuse to believe in His Son and accept Him. That is a good thing and a bad thing. There's going to be two types of people at the throne of Christ. Those that walk away after the judgment sort of like elevated and happy and relieved and joyful and ready to go and tell somebody. And there's going to be others that walk away with their head hanging down because they didn't heed God's reminders and warnings. And they never listened to God when He spoke because they never took Him serious at His word. And they're going to hang their head and leave empty-handed. The ones that leave rejoicing and happy are because there is a book called the Book of Remembrance. In this book of remembrance, God writes down every single thing that happened in our lifetime and for everything you did in obedience to what you were asked to do by Him. While you're here on earth, there are rewards. And God has incredible rewards. God had me go through the scripture and find all the rewards that were there, and I taught on it for 7 months in our church. There are incredible rewards that God gives to those who obey what He says. And He has got it right down to following His leading on a line when you're praying for people. Every single tiny little minute thing that He asked you to do and put in your heart to do, or gave you just a feeling that that's what you should do, and you went ahead with it, it is recorded. And with that recording is the equivalent reward that goes with it. And you will receive all that list of rewards when you get up there. And you will be one of these that leave uplifted, rejoicing. It's like, God, You didn't have to pay me for that. That was just my duty. I did it gladly. It was just like second nature. And I get paid for this? But others will leave with their head hanging down. Now that we've looked at the overview, I want to stop and I want to give you 7 really quick books that we're going to look at. One is the book of the Lord Jesus Christ. The other is the book of the living, the book of life, the book of the tears of the saints, the book of remembrance, the books of the works and deeds of all human beings on earth, and the book and scrolls of the 7 seals of judgment. These books exist. They will continue to exist. And God has a counterpart on earth. And He has a counterpart in heaven. Every single one of us has a book in heaven that has your name on it and has every detail from the moment you were conceived all the way to the moment you die and how you died and everything that happened in between. And you have a copy of that record. So that when we stand before God, He will ask you a question, and when you answer it out of your copy, He checks it against His copy to make sure that the record is true. I will begin by just reading a scripture out of Psalms chapter 40, verse 7. Then I said, Behold, I come, and in the scroll or volume of the book it is written of me. Just about everything of the life of Christ was pre-written by God through the prophets before He came on earth, and He had nothing more than to read it and know what He had to do. And how he had to live, and what would happen to him, and what kind of life he'd have, what kind of death he'd have, and what would happen in between. And God has a record in heaven of the book and life of Jesus Christ. And when we get to heaven, you can walk up to that book that's probably about 1 mile high and probably like a football field wide, and you'll be able to go through that book. Every miracle he did, every thought he thought, every prayer he made, every single detail about his life. And there's something about heaven. Heaven is full of light, transparency, openness, and there's no hiding of anything. Good, bad, or indifferent, it's all there for the world to see. So will your book and mine. The Lord wants to make us conscious this morning of something that we don't often think about. And please believe me this morning, and I'm going to say this once. I don't want to repeat this. I want you to hear it and receive it in your spirit. God is not here to condemn us this morning. He's not here to make this so suffocating that you don't even want to live. He's only saying, this is the way it is. Choose what you're going to do about it. Pleasure and pain are inseparable. It's not that God wants us to feel pain. But God could not give us pleasure without pain. The principle goes together. We choose. God gave us a life. We can choose to live it or exist it. We can choose to annul it, or we can choose to live it at its fullest. It's our choice. God made us free human beings to choose the way we would go. All He does is record it. And someday make us accountable for it. So, with free choice comes accountability. With privilege comes responsibility. Inseparable. You can't separate them. And so the Lord wants to make us conscious of the fact that there was a book that was written of Jesus, and curiously enough, it was written before He ever came into the existence of it. And so God's books don't necessarily start when we started. Because God knows the end from the beginning. That is why we have a copy that we are making And I'll bet none of you thought that you kept record of everything you do. And we're going to bounce the records off of one another to make sure that the one that God wrote before you ever started is exactly like the one that happened to you. You've got the one that actually happened. He's got the one in the foreknowledge of what happened. You see, he wrote the book on Jesus before it ever took place. Books. Books are in heaven, but we don't often think of it. He knew that a body was going to be given to him, because in Hebrews 10:5 it says, he came into this world, he said, sacrifice and offering I would not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. Okay, now the book of the living. Last night we said it in passing, I'll say it again. In Psalms 139, 13 through 16, David is saying, for you formed me in the inward parts and covered me in my mother's womb, and I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows so well. My frame was not hidden from you. That means God had the foreknowledge of all of this. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, that is the womb of his mother, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they are written. And the days that were fashioned for me when as yet none of them were made. In other words, he said that the book that was written on me wasn't only what eyes color I would have and how my ears would be and what my hair color would be and the DNA code of the exact body that I would have, but also, he says, that the amount of time that I would be allowed to have on earth was already pre-described to me before I was born. Whether I'd live 13 years or 130 years or whatever I would live, everything was pre-recorded. My record keeping stops when I die, and then we check records to see if what he said was actually the truth. But because he is the spirit of truth, I doubt he'll miss it. You know why God keeps a DNA code? Because your body's going to be disintegrated, eaten by fish, burnt by fire, and all kinds of things, and there's no record left anywhere of what your body looked like, what it was like, how tall it was, or anything. But God keeps a record of the DNA in heaven. The book of life is still in heaven. And when Jesus Christ is given to call forth all human beings on earth to join your spirit and soul, whether in hell or in heaven, with your body, he's got to create. He's got to shout with a shout of a trumpet and make millions of bodies instantaneously. And he has the DNA code for everyone. So he needs the book on you. The book starts out by forming you the first time according to that book. And the second time he's going to form you according to that book, but it won't be in the womb of your mother. It will be in the womb of eternity. That's why Paul says we have this hope that although we drop our body off and it disintegrates and we're without it and feel like we're orphaned from it, someday God's going to bring it back to us and we're going to be a whole being, because God's purpose is to restore all things. We lost our body through sin. There's a sentence of death on our flesh. And because we sin a lot, there's going to be a quick, good sentence of it. It's going to die and it's going to fall away. And those who followed God and lived for God and lived in total righteousness got to keep their body, like Enoch, so on, and Elijah. But they get to come back on earth and they get to be killed and their body gets to be killed so that God can use the book to resurrect all human beings according to the DNA code that he's got written free of scribe on every one of us. That is the book of the living. Every person that lives, whether for a second or not, and it starts at conception. The Chinese start counting your birthday from the conception, not from birth. Because that's when you started. And so if you were aborted on purpose, deliberately, or whether that was just life that did that or God that called you home, because in the book that he wrote on you, he said you'd only have 2 months of gestation to live and that's it. He called you home. The book of the living. The book of life. The book of life only God writes in, but we have a copy. And we know exactly the day it happened, where it happened, how it happened, what was said and what was done. We don't keep that record in our brain, however. I just want to say that the book of life is a book that God has in which He writes your name, a brief description, whether you're a servant of God or a child of God or whatever. It has your name and the family from which you are with your surname. And in that book that is in heaven, your name shows up there the moment you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, accept the gospel of truth, accept Jesus into your heart, and the plan of salvation starts in your life at that point when you surrendered yourself to God and accepted His free gift. At that point, your name is written in the book of life. It doesn't depend on what you think. It doesn't depend on what you believe. It doesn't depend on what you think you deserve. It doesn't believe on anything. Some people are up there and think, wow, I made it. This can't be. Something's wrong. And other people are at the door arguing with Peter. Why can't I be here? I did everything right. What's wrong with you? Something's wrong with the record. Well, sorry, we only let people in here whose names are in the book of life, and only the Son of God writes in that book. It's not about what you think. It's not about what you feel. It's not about what your aunt did. It's about what God wrote in that book. In Revelation 20, verse 12, "And I saw the dead, the small and the great, stand before God, and another book," because there's all kinds of books in heaven, "another book was opened, which was called the Book of Life." So it's not just my idea that there's a Book of Life. This was John the Revelator, by vision in heaven, by the throne of God, saw the book, saw that it was called the Book of Life. In Philippians 4, chapter 3, it says, "My co-workers whose names are written in the book of life." In Revelation 17:8, "And the people who belong to this world whose names were not written in the book of life from before the world began will be amazed at the reappearance of the beast who died." That means that we will have a record, and God has a record before it all started. Not just before you started, before the world started. Everybody's name was written. And if you live your life out and make the right choices, then your record and His will be the same. And because He's the Spirit of the truth, if you didn't do, in other words, His writing your name didn't guarantee that you would stay there. He can blot it out. The only thing that guarantees that you can stay there is that when God wrote your name in the book of life before the world began, that was God saying, "I'm going to give them an opportunity, and I'm going to send my Spirit to them, and I'm going to do everything I can to give them the possibility of accepting me." Your record will hold the day that you accepted Christ, and your name will not be written out of the book of life, because you have a copy record, and His can't be different than yours if there's a Spirit of truth. In this, we find that again in Revelation 20, and now I'm going to go to verse 15. It says, "And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." That's a heavy thing. But instead of concentrating on, oh my God, am I going to go to the lake of fire? Just make sure your name is written in the book of life. You can do that today. You can soften your heart and quit being so hard-hearted. And just surrender to God, accept His free gift for you, and get your name written in there. But the truth is that we're faced with reality and truth today. And would God all of us had the sense of understanding in our heart. And I said just a moment ago that make sure that the record that started before the foundation of the world doesn't have to get blotted out because you didn't do it when your day came. And you're thinking, what's he talking about? King David prayed this in Psalm 69, verse 28. "May my enemies be those who humiliate, disgrace, and insult me, but let them be blotted out of your book of life and not be listed with the righteous." Let me take you in on a conversation between God Almighty and Moses when he was up there in the glory, wrapped up in fire. In Deuteronomy 9:14. "Let me alone," God says to Moses. "Leave me alone. I want to go down there and destroy that lot that's down there." They're dancing naked before a golden calf when I'm their God. Don't hang on to me. Don't try to convince me. Don't try to change my mind. Let me go down there and kill the lot of them. And Moses says this. Remember, they were under the law then. I'll read it to you as it is. It said, "Let me alone that I might destroy them and blot them out or erase their name from under heaven. And I will make of you a mightier and greater nation than they." I will just start over. In Exodus 32:31, we see his answer. Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, "O God, I see now that these people have sinned greatly before you and have made for themselves a god of gold. Now I know why you are so angry. Yet now, please, O God, forgive their sin. But if not, I pray you, then blot my name out also from your book of life which you have written." Before you start criticizing pastors, remember the price they paid for you. He was willing to lose out on eternal bliss for their sins to be repaired, forgotten, and forgiven by Almighty God. The Apostle Paul writes in the Bible, make sure you keep your overseers and pastors happy with you and don't give them a hard time because they answer for you. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, is it getting heavy in here? Aren't you glad I let you know ahead of time so you can fasten your seatbelt? It'll get good. "Now forgive their sin, blot me out of your book of life." And the Lord said to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, his name will I blot out of my book." You need to register that. He said, "I can't blot your name out of my book, but whoever has sinned against me, I'll blot their name out of my book." That is why, folks, I believe that repentance shouldn't be something you just do when you gave your life to Christ. It should be something we do every day or several times a day. Because what God does is that every time we sin, we have an advocate with God. This man's name is Jesus. And if we come to God through Jesus and say, "I am guilty, I am accountable for what I've done, I will try my hardest to quit doing this and quit offending you with the things that really hurt you. I will try to change my lifestyle if you will help me by your Holy Spirit. But please forgive me for what I've done." At that point, angels are directed to your personal book of record and blot out that action. The only thing that's going to appear there is a blank. Don't make people wonder what happened there. The book of God that has a record is an incredible record, because every detail is there and in all beauty and all wonderment. But did you know that there was a book that records only the moments where Christians repented, so that God has a record of everything that He has wiped away for His own honor, glory, and rewards? And it's called the Book of the Tears of the Saints. It's a good book. In Psalms 56:8, it says, "Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not written in your book?" Those are every tear of sorrow are written in the book. This is not your personal book. This is God's record of every tear shed on earth. That includes prayers. That includes repentance. That includes sorrow and pain over loss of someone or loss of something in your life. It records every single tear shed by human beings. God said in the Old Testament to the priests, "Make sure that every offering you offer me has salt. There shall be no offering offered to me without salt." Let me ask you, have you ever tasted the flavor of a tear? That is the sacrifice that God wants. Humility, lowliness, repentance, or what we do wrong. He doesn't want us to live that way. He wants us to live happy without a conscience that bothers us. But if it does, God has given us a way. Listen, having a book isn't going to change. The record of accountability isn't going to change. What did change is when God saw that all of that was going to end up destroying every human being He ever created, He had a plan to take the whole thing on Himself if people would just humble themselves and repent and turn to Him and let Him change their life. God keeps the book of tears. There is a book of remembrance. That means that every time that we sit around and talk about the things of the Lord, or anything concerning the work, anything concerning doctrine, anything concerning the Bible, anything concerning Christ, anything concerning His angels, anything concerning God Himself, not religion, but the reality of God Himself, there is a book that God keeps. And angels surround people that are Christians, and every time you get together to talk about the Lord, a book of remembrance is made of what you did. It's separate than the book of your life. It's just a book of remembrance. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, "And those who feared the Lord spoke to each other, and the Lord listened to what they said, and in His presence, and a scroll or book of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared the Lord, who loved Him, who worshipped Him, and spoke about Him." These books are eternal. You can't get into the library. You can't cook the records. In verse 17 it says, "And all they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day that I publicly recognize and openly declare them to be my jewels, my special possession, my peculiar treasures, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him." From what? From eternal destruction. We would do very well in our life to do a whole lot more talking about the things of God than gabbing about the weather, the president, or whatever stupidity there is in this earth. Because we please the Lord, and because He writes a record, and there's rewards for everything that pleased the Lord that we walk with in this life. All right. Now we're going to get to the major one. You got your seatbelt fastened? It's called the books of deeds and works of every human being. Now, God is saying what our way of looking at it is, and He writes it in Isaiah verse 29. And verse 15, it says, "Woe to those who seek to hide counsel from the Lord, those whose works are hidden in darkness, and they say, who's going to see us? Who knows us? Who knows what we're doing?" He says, woe to these people, because they think that they can take what they do and hide it. And so, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Seeing as though we are surrounded by so great cloud of witness, let us lay aside the weights and the sin which does so easily take control over us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, which is the author and finisher of our faith." Basically, what He is saying here is He wants us to know that these books that are written by clouds of witness that constantly surround us. And see every action that we do, everything that we do, whether in services, outside of services, or wherever in the world you are, up in an airplane or down on the ground. Right now, we are surrounded with angels taking record of what I am saying to you. And we will account for what we have said. That's an awesome accountability thought right there. And so He is saying that every deed and every action of every human being will be written in a personalized book. Every one of us has our own book of actions, our own book of works, our own book of deeds, and recorded with it are the intents of the heart and the thoughts that went with it. Now, a while ago I told you that we keep a copy, that we record. For those of you that don't know how it works, let me tell you. Sound works a whole lot better in stereo than it does in mono. Those that have listened to nice music will understand that when it comes in two-sided and it comes to you, it's just full and nice. Also, video works a whole lot better in 3D and three-dimension than it does single. If you go to the IMAX, for example, and you put these glasses on that allow you to see in 3D and with depth and perception, that is incredible. And the only reason you can do that is because you have two eyes. The only reason that you can perceive in stereo is because you have two ears. And so God hooked every human being up with a camcorder. You might have whispered something to your wife or husband or your brother or your sister, or might have just whispered it to yourself when nobody could hear it. But guess who heard it in stereo and recorded it? We may not remember, but we don't record it in our brain. We record it in our spirit. So we have no pause button. We have no erase button. We have no buttons at all other than all-time record in 3D and in stereo. God made the lenses of our camcorder so incredible that engineers to this time, with all the modern technology, have not been able to get lenses to record less than one little candlelight and record so accurately that details can be blown up and seen perfectly. And that's the lenses of our eyes. Lenses that are so perfect that you can transition from total darkness to total light and still not lose any recording. So perfect that your brain was given to differentiate between background and foreground, so whatever you focus on, that is what it will say there was your intent and focus. A recorder so magnificent that the silly conversations or the horrific conversations that took place on this earth in total silence are totally recorded. The falsehood of somebody's face who you're looking at and saying, "You look so nice, my gentleman." And inside you're saying, "Boy, doesn't he look ugly?" How many of you know that a CD, when it's recorded, it has a section in the middle that's called the directory? And after you burn a CD, it lasts a little bit longer and it's burning something. You know what it's burning? All the information on that CD. How many tracks, what the names of the tracks are, how long each track is. All the information on that track is recorded and put in a directory. When you put your CD in, it's going directly to this directory to find out all the details that are in there. Our camcorder records every detail. Our intents, our thoughts, our motivations, everything is recorded with that picture in the directory file. That's our copy. God's copy is identical, except it's written by angels and we can't cook the books. And angels are constantly surrounding every human being, writing down every thought, every process, everything that happens, good and bad. The good will have rewards, and the bad will have punishment. We are accountable. And so, this book begins, and we begin to record it in absolute beauty. And not only that, but how many know that a movie made in black and white isn't anything like color? You know that God made our lenses to record in color? Let me just show you this. I told you a little while ago that we record everything in our spirit. Okay? And you're thinking, well, this guy just says stuff. Okay, let me go to the parable of Jesus where Abraham was in heaven and the rich man and Lazarus die. And they both go, and one goes to hell, one goes to heaven. Okay, do you remember that story? You remember about the drop of water? Please help me. Both of them left their body on earth. Both of them were only spirit and soul up there. The body wasn't there. The brain wasn't there. All the natural functions weren't there. That's just the camcorder. The camcorder stayed here, but the recording went there. Because he said to him, "Remember that in thy lifetime, this and this and this and this and this and this and this happened." You go back to that moment in that hour, and there's the full perfect recording. Nothing is lost. Just because you have amnesia, or you had an accident, your mind doesn't work, or you're getting old and you're getting senile, doesn't matter at all. You're going to drop the camcorder here after you're done with it. But when you go up there, you're going to have the full recording. Son, remember. So he's got to zip back. Did you know that when people die, God ziplocks the recording and lets you know it? Do you know how many people who have died and come back have given this record? That just before they died, their whole life came before them like a film in high, high speed, just zoom, and they saw every action, every image, everything just zoom, like that, a whole lifetime zipped up in a file that you cannot touch or cook, and it goes up with your spirit. When I was 9 years old, I was taken down to the beach with a friend and a bunch of young people from the church. And we were playing around in the ocean. And the person that was there in charge of all us kids didn't realize that there was an undertow, an undercurrent in the ocean. And there was a flag up that means that there's undertow currents. That means there's currents that on the surface bring you out, underneath bring you deep. So you don't go in too deep to where it can grab hold of you and take you down and take you out into the ocean. But they weren't paying attention to all of that, which they should have been. And what happened is that I got a little bit too deep. I'm a totally accountable individual. That's my fault. But I went holding on by his hand, but he said, be sure you hang on real good to me. And I wasn't too obedient, so I take full accountability for what happened. The next thing I know, I was taken deep, 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 and the water kept getting colder and colder and darker and darker and darker. And I started running out of air, and I started to call out to God as a little kid. I was a missionary's kid, you know, and so I knew all about God. That made me want to get saved real quick, and I sort of left things off for later, thinking that you die when you're supposed to be 80, okay? And so some of us better be paying attention even if you're 6 years old right now. And what happened is that I died. But just seconds before I had to take that breath, and I cried out to God, and I kept going deeper and deeper, and something kept taking me a great speed down into the ocean. And every once in a while I'd come up and I'd see some light, and then I'd go down again. And boy, I tell you what, I was afraid. If you think you're not afraid of dying, you are. What happened is that at one particular time, before the lights went out, before I lost consciousness, I cried out to God, and here's what happened. A film of all my life, and I was only like 7, 8 years old at that time, so I didn't have much film. But I'm telling you what, every little image popped up, and I was conscious of every image. Some of us think when we watch movies that you're just watching what you can see. No, you're watching everything that they hide. God must have had mercy on me, because you're saying, well, tell us what happened, because you're here today. Obviously, you didn't stay dead. But what happened is that when I finally came to and opened my eyes, they were doing resuscitation, and all I could see is just like 100 people on the beach standing all around me looking down. I opened my eyes, and here's 100 faces looking down on me. And I thank God he spared my life. But what they say about your life coming before you, all get zipped up and ready to go, mine got zipped up and ready to go. Your record goes with you. Fortunately, God put me back into my camcorder. So in Luke 16:22 is when the beggar and the rich man were having a conversation together, and God leaves a record of those things. The positive side of this is that the beauty of all of this is that every single one of our good actions is recorded, both for us and someone else. You know, when you took a dollar bill out of your pocket and slipped it into somebody's pocket and nobody saw what you did, whether it's in the shirt or whatever, no one saw what you did, but you took a video of it. No one saw the time you reached out your hand and picked someone up off the floor. No one saw the time that you ran a bottle of water up to somebody that was speaking and you saw them coughing, or, you know, the dry spit was coming out of their mouth, and so not to litter the people that were on the front row, you were kind enough to them and kind enough to the speaker and ran up and put a glass of water. Do you know that there was a record of that? And someday, according to Jesus, in the record of the parable of the sheep and the goats, who were put on the left and on the right, or on the right and the left respectively, they are given the rewards of eternal kingdom from God and ushered in and said, come into the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world, because when I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. And they said, well, when were you thirsty? You ran a bottle of water up to the preacher when he was running. That's good enough. You did it for me. Come on in. Every time you bowed your knee and prayed for somebody other than yourself, there's a record in heaven, is there rewards for you. Not only in seeing the answer to your prayer performed for that individual, but also in heaven when you get there, for every act of selflessness. For every time you went to a prison and spoke to prisoners. Every time you saw somebody cold and had no clothes and you took some of your clothes and gave to them. Every action in our life is recorded in the books. I want a lot of that stuff in my book. I thank God that during times of revival, the Lord would slip in messages here or there to let us know just exactly what was going on, so that I have all the opportunity in the world to do something about it. God's telling us this not to beat us up. God's telling us this so that we'll start making a record that when it's thrown on the balances, we'll more or less balance out. Don't go to heaven without any rewards. God isn't evil. He's not just recording the bad stuff on us because He's trying to get something up on us. God is just fair. He just writes down everything. And He has His angels constantly observing around the earth, every single person, what they do. And let me tell you, the day you gave your life to God, while the angel is writing down the hour, the moment, exactly what happened, what you did, and how you humbled your heart to accept a free gift when you would have liked to just stand before God and said, I did it, you know, and all of that is recorded. The moment He puts the period at the end, there's a million voices in heaven. Yay! Because it says heaven will rejoice, and it's angels over everyone that gives his life to God. So it's not just the angel, it's the cloud of witnesses that's constantly watching. And when something happens that's Godward, something happens that's wonderful, something happens that let them keep one more soul from the flames of hell, they all rejoice in heaven. Because God is merciful. He's kind. There's kindness in God that we can't imagine. And so He's telling us ahead of time that we are going to be accountable. We say, you know what, if my mother hadn't treated me like dad, and my dad hadn't abused me, and all these things that had happened, I wouldn't be a wreck today. No, you're a wreck because you refuse to forgive, and you're a wreck today because you refuse to bury the past and begin to not do that to somebody else instead of doing that to your children too. I'll get back to books. I think we were doing better there. Unfortunately, all the negative stuff is written too. Every disobedient, every sin, every word of blasphemy, everything that we ever did that was contrary to the will of God is written in that book. I believe in repentance. I don't know about you, but I'm going to have an awful lot of empty pages. You can think and meditate what might have happened, but I can tell you one thing you can be sure happened if you see an empty page in my book up there. You're going to know that I humbled my heart and I believed in repentance. I believe in coming to God and say, God, would you forgive me for those words? Would you forgive me for being harsh with that individual? Would you forgive me for not being faithful to your sheep? Would you forgive me, Lord, for getting irritated with your people? Instead of teaching them how to go, I just ripped them up. God, would you forgive me for this? Would you forgive me for my carnality? Would you forgive me for my selfishness? Oh, things come up all the time in my life. And I want to tell you, there's all kinds of pages that are going to be empty. But I'm glad that God has a merciful heart and that He is willing to empty those pages. I'd be ashamed to have you read my whole book. When I walk away with rewards and you see God rewarding us and standing up happy and embracing me and say, well done, son. Don't you think for a minute it had anything to do with all the good things I did. It was because He erased more stuff than I ever had on the record. So I'm a believer. I believe He keeps record. I believe I am accountable. That's why I repent. And that's why I try hard not to do it. But without the Holy Spirit, I just don't seem to have the power to overcome anything. And so that's why I'm totally dependent on the Holy Spirit. You'll hear me say again and again, I'm bankrupt without the Holy Spirit, ministerially and every otherwise. I've been in revival that most people haven't even dreamed of being in. I take no credit for any of it. I'm a human being like you, with a record. With a record that will glorify God. Because He's the only one worthy of all praise and glory. He's the only one that did it right. His book is going to be the only one worthwhile reading. You can muse around in all the rest of ours, but you're going to spend a lot of energy going through empty pages. For the people that are very fortunate and wise in this world. That's why the king said, as he wrote the book of Proverbs, we do well to seek for wisdom like gold and understanding like treasure. You do well to pay attention this morning. You do well to let that enter into your understanding. You do very well because your life would be different Peter was saying in the second book that he wrote, you know what, all this, all the heavens and all the earth is going to be burnt up with fervent fire. And so he says, what kind of a life should we ought we to live? Circumspectly, in other words, soberly in this world and righteously. There's books written on us. We're going to account for all of this. Don't just live like there's no tomorrow. Realize that you still have a chance to make things right. Make things right with whoever you did them wrong. You know, it's impossible that offenses come, but we can go and make things right. Or try to. Some things you can't go back on. You just have to hand to the Lord and say, Lord, whatever happened, happened. We can't go back on that. Praise the Lord. And I mean it when I say praise the Lord. I want to read you a short, short excerpt from a book of an author, Richard Sigmund, that lived from 1941 to 2010, contemporary. And his book is called My Time in Heaven. And so I took little pieces here and there out of this page, that page, and I just want to read these little excerpts. It says, Richard Sigmund, born from 1941 to 2010, was born in Des Moines, Iowa, and his grandfather was praying as Richard was being born, and the Lord told him that through him I will answer your prayer. Whose prayer? The prayer of the great-grandfather, who was a spirit-filled Jewish circuit-riding preacher in the Civil War. The Lord first appeared to Richard when he was 4 years old as a child, and he started preaching in the Country Methodist Church in Iowa. His grandfather knew healing evangelist Jack Coe Sr. Reverend Coe brought Richard to Omaha in 1949 to preach, while the boy who became known as the Little Richard preached with anointings that came on him, and people saw angels around him while he preached. When he was about 9 years old, he presented the gospel before meetings of worldwide renowned evangelist and miracle workers A.A. Allen. And Richard was with Allen for about 10 years. Also during that time, Richard was with evangelist Lee Gerard and presented his testimony during William Branham's meetings. Over the years, Richard preached the gospel through television programs, radio broadcast, and speaking engagements. He became friends with Sid Ross and interviews on TV programs. It is supernatural. He was in the meeting with Catherine Kuhlman, Oral Roberts, interviewed by Pat Robertson. Richard ministered around the world with signs, wonders, healings, and miracles. In South Africa, he followed David Nunn, Morris Cirillo, and in special series of meetings with Rex Humbard, who encouraged him to tell his story about when God took him to heaven everywhere he went. In 1974, Richard was declared dead for 8 hours after a traffic accident, during which he had his experience of heaven and hell. Richard Sigmund tells this, I had been driving down a road in my van when suddenly I was engulfed in a thick cloudy veil. I could hear voices of people around me, and there were sirens and lots of noises, and I heard words, he is dead. A force was drawing me through this cloud, and I could hear people singing. The next thing I knew, I emerged on the other side of eternity. For what seemed like a few minutes, I was moving through the clouds, and yet the clouds was moving through me, until I arrived at what appeared to be a receiving area in heaven. The angels walking with me gestured and said, behold the wall. The wall was tall, and it looked as if it was a mile away. Suddenly, I was at the wall. Traveling in heaven seems to be at the speed of thought. Behold, the books, he said. Then the angel said, behold again, the books. On my left, a book was sitting on a golden pillar and served as a giant easel. The book had to be at least a mile high and 3/4 of a mile wide, and it was huge, and the angels were turning the pages of this humongous book. On the right was another book, which was the Lamb's Book of Life. Its pages were turned as well, and I was lifted up by the angel to see what was written on one particular page. And there, in 3-inch size golden letters outlined in crimson red blood, was my name, Richard of the family of Sigmund, servant of God. Along my name were the dates of my birth, My conversion and the crimson red outline on my name was the sacrifice blood of Jesus Christ. Revelation 21:27. But nothing that defiles or profanes or is unwashed shall enter into it, nor anyone who commits abomination, unclean, detestable, morally repugnant things, or who practice falsehood, but only those whose names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. God knows our tomorrows. In Ephesians 1, verse 11 and 12, in Him we are also chosen, having been predestinated according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity to the purposes of His will, in order that we, who were first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise and glory of God. Then Richard Sigmund says, I was taken by the angel next to the archives of heaven. Here, God keeps the record in a huge building of archives in heaven. And he writes in Revelation 20:12, I saw the dead, the great, the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. And the book was opened, which was the Lamb's Book of Life, and the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in this book. The archives of heaven contain the different books about our lives. And these are the books that are taken to God when judgment comes. These books are the records of our works here on earth. If a person sins, it is recorded in that book. I was given the understanding that when we repent, anything that we have done that was wrong or sinful in nature was recorded also in that book, was erased for eternity, and no one can find the record, not even God. There are other books about our lives which are pictorial records. Every thought, every reaction, everything is recorded in heaven. There are many different books for each person. Tall, slender angels took care of a huge book. And angels appeared to be about 8 or 9 feet tall, and they wrote in books using a golden quill, which was about 5 feet long, this pen, and apparently could write forever without writing out of whatever substance it was writing with. An angel would hold a book in his right hand and make a record with it on his left. I saw an angel pull out books with their left hand and open the thick pages, and each page was something like a video screen, except images were three-dimensional. The images contained the history of the life of every individual, and the books were written in pictures and created right before me. They were making them. These books were huge and heavy. They were so heavy that a pickup could not have carried it on earth, yet this angel seemed to be very capable of holding it in his arm while he wrote with the other one. I noticed other groups of angels. Some were tall, some slender, and of them I had seen before. He was standing off to the side watching everything I did, even when I was in heaven, and listening to everything I said. And he had a large book, and he was writing in it with the same quill that the rest of them were using, but half, about 6 feet tall was this particular quill, and was huge, and it was golden. And the book was written in it was made out of some type of golden-looking material. And it might have weighed several hundred pounds on earth. But he held it up in his arm and kept writing. Now the Word of God tells us that a record of every thought and every deed and every action we do is recorded in heaven. That's why in Hebrews 4:13 it says, and there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open in His eyes of Him with whom we have to give account someday as we stand before God. The book of judgments, the book of lamentation, the book of warnings, and the book of judgments, and the book of woes, the last of which only Christ can open. And the judgments for a world that lives according to certain manner is already in heaven and sealed. God sealed that book, and only Jesus Christ can open it. And the moment He opens it, all the judgments start being performed on earth by angels. John sees this book. John sees the book that Ezekiel ate, and he understood it. In Revelation 10, verse 8, "Then a voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, 'Go, take this little book, which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth.' And so I went to the angel and I said, 'Give me that little book.' And he said to me, 'Take it and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be sweet as honey in your mouth.' So I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was indeed very sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became very bitter. And he said unto me," in verse 11, "'You must prophesy again about many people, nations, tongues, and kings.'" And this book is the book of prophecies. And God says, you have to, when I give you the gift, and when I appoint you with that calling, I put this gift in you. You have to eat it. Jeremiah had to eat the book. Ezekiel had to eat the book. They were mighty prophets. They ate the book, and out of the contents of the book came out the revelations of their prophecies. Jesus is the only one worthy of doing any of all these things. There is a common thought in the mind of every person who lives on earth that we have a right to live until we're 85 or 90. If nothing else, we have a right to live to our appointed time of 70 years that Jesus said we had on earth. I want to say something to you. Do you know the only right we have for how long we're going to live is what God wrote in our book when we were being formed in the womb of our mother? He determined the time. He determined what country, what culture you'd belong to, what things you'd have to deal with, what things you'd have to go through, every suffering, every pain, every glory, every moment of happiness, every moment of fulfillment, every failure, every success. Everything was written in that book before you ever started. And in it was written the time that you would live. We have a right to live that long. I wish the Lord would allow me this morning to speak on the gift of time. God gave us all a gift of time. It'd be like somebody putting in the bank $1,440 every day, but you have to spend it that day. And how you spend it depends on what you end up having. But every day they put 1,440 minutes on your clock. And so it's a gift of time that God gives us. But we don't know how big the gift is. Some have a gift of 120 years, and some have a gift of 900 and some years, and some have a gift of just a month of gestation. And God gives us opportunities. Today is our opportunity. If you've never accepted Christ, I would love for you to do that for your sake. I would love for you to walk away from here and live a different life than you lived before you came here this morning. By realizing that you can't cook the books, but you can change the content from this day forward. And that you can have it full of things that will bring you rewards from heaven someday. My brother-in-law, his father, was a policeman. They were LAPDs. But they kept bugging him to go to services that a preacher was having. And they bugged him so very much that they finally just decided to get the bugging off of them by just going. So he and his partner parked anywhere because they have that privilege. They walked into the building, both of them, he and his partner, dressed in police clothes. And they sat down at the back. And the preacher kept preaching. In the middle of the sermon, he stops. And he points to those two policemen at the back. The Lord says that today is your last opportunity to accept Jesus Christ. So you will determine your destiny of heaven or hell today. Now, this is a story of my own family. Well, that scared Robert. If I give you the last name, then you know who I'm talking about. That was my brother-in-law's father. So, that scared him. So at the end of the guy's message, he stands up and he says, "Let's go. Let's go up there." The guy says, "No, just because somebody tries to scare tactic us, we're policemen. We don't fall for that." He said, "No, man, we got to go." He said, "What can we lose? I mean, if we go up there and nothing happens and it wasn't that way, well, at least we get rid of that tormenting thought. Because, I mean, you got to live with this." "No," he said, "don't be crazy.
can go up there like a sissy. He said, I'm going up. So he went up and the other guy stayed. Gave his life to the Lord. As it turned out, Robert Thor, first and second name, gave his life to the Lord. God anointed him with a tremendous ministry of healing, miracles, and a word of knowledge. He had a word of knowledge for everybody. He ended up being a pastor after his life. He left the police force, and he was a tremendous minister for the Lord until he died many, many years into his life. Many people, thousands of people were brought to Christ through his ministry. He had an exemplary life and a beautiful life. But I want to tell you the story as it was that day. After he gave his life to God, they had just finished leading him to Christ when his radio went off. And they said, there's a burglary at the bank 2 blocks away from you, and your squad car is the nearest to it. Go and answer it. So he got up off his knees. He went running back, picked up his partner who had heard the same message. They raced out to the squad car. They went flying down 2 blocks, came to a screeching stop, threw it into park, flew the doors open, left him like that, and started running across the corner. What they didn't realize is that the bank robbers had already come out of the bank. They were crossing the street kitty corner. When they saw the police, they started shooting. When they started shooting, my brother-in-law's father had already turned the corner, but the other policeman was going right through the line of fire and got hit in the head and dropped dead into eternity. One ended up serving God with thousands of years into his eternity of rewards, and the other man dropped dead into an eternity of fire. This isn't just something an evangelist uses to get you excited. This happened in my family. And let me just say this today, that many times we put off things thinking that we have tomorrow. I'd like you to just bow your heads for just a moment. If we knew we were surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, what kind of a life ought we to live? God is asking you to turn with all your heart and spirit toward Him. Because there are books that are going to be incriminating or eternally glorious waiting for you in heaven. You're going to have books like many that you have read of the life of missionaries, pastors, and people who have lived their life out selflessly to give themselves for others. And how many of us on this earth have read books of many of these people and been so blessed? Someday, they're going to read your book in heaven. Make sure that they are going to be blessed. Make sure that they're going to read about a life who surrendered. Make sure they're going to read that you're in their Lamb's Book of Life. Make sure that they're going to read of all the rewards that you received in heaven and rejoice with you, because up there no one is full of jealousy. Make sure today. I'm giving you just a few minutes to think about it. It's your life. It's not mine. It is yours. When you leave here, don't leave with fear. That wasn't the point. Don't leave with apprehensions. Don't walk out the door so that people of the world look at you and say, my God, I don't want to go to church if they come out like that. God is just telling us to write a story of our life that's worthy of people weeping when they read the story. I have cried and wept through many a book as I read. Do you ever read the Book of Martyrs? People who were willing to not sell out Christ when they were being burnt to a stake, I begin to cry to God. I want some of this stuff. I need to be made up of this stuff. I want my book of records to hold stuff like this. I would like to be like these people. I'd like to emulate Jesus. I'd like to be like Jesus. Would you allow my book to have a few paragraphs that look just like the paragraphs in the book of Jesus? You can this morning. God is a very forgiving God. I believe some of us this morning need to make things right with God, and it takes so little time. Some of you, as you've been listening to the Word, the Holy Spirit, which is a sweet conviction, it's not condemnation, it is not something heavy that comes down on you, it is just something sweet where the Holy Spirit pulls and tugs at your heart and lets you know what, I want to wipe this page out on your life. I want to wipe out all those bad things and attitudes you just said yesterday, day before, today, this morning, and a week ago, a year ago. I want to take care of this so that you don't have to read it and be ashamed of it, and nobody else can have to read it. I want you to take care of this. Don't let it go. Don't let it go like this man let his salvation go. Don't let today go by without doing business with God.